Well, good morning, Keystone Church and everybody else who's joining me this morning. These are definitely unique times, are they not? I think one of the things that I've realized during this time is how fragile we are as a culture, even as the world. We're just a fragile people, and you know, a virus like that can just shut this world down. And I know that this is kind of a scary time. There's a lot of uncertainties in all of this. I think maybe you would agree with me that maybe some of the thoughts that you've had these last days and maybe a week and maybe 2 weeks here is, man, I take a lot of things for granted. And I would say probably you do too, that things just work out the way that they do, right? And things just function and we get the food where we need to and we can talk to people and our culture just functions the way it's supposed to. And but my hope, church, is that as we are processing this together, one of the things that's happening in your soul is a greater desire to dig into the things that matter. And to perhaps even ask some of those greater questions of what is this life truly about? And how is it that I'm supposed to cope with something like this? Where am I going to find hope? Where am I going to rest and find peace in this time? And so I hope that that's what's happening in your soul. It's what's definitely been happening in mine. We as a staff this last week have been kind of talking about our culture and trying to even find some ways that, you know, were there ever times in the past that we felt like this? You know, are there times in our culture where we felt like this? And not too many of us probably remember World War II, right? When the entire world was behind this one cause and we were kind of all working together. You know, smallpox, lots of the other diseases that have swept through. We don't have a ton of association with those, but I think we can all at this point remember 9/11, right? It was at that point that when everything came through and the building started to come down, that we realized there was an uncertainty in our future, wasn't there? We thought, is this the way it's going to be? Are we going to get attacked like this all the time? And so we were all on edge because we just didn't know what was going to happen. And probably you can, like me, remember where you were when you heard that. My wife and I were actually on our way to vacation when we first got a call from my dad. We were traveling up to the North Shore in Minnesota. And my dad said, hey, you need to pull over. There's something going on in our world that you need to be aware of. And so sure enough, we pulled over and went to a gas station. We looked up on the TV and we thought, are you kidding me? What is happening to our world? And so we decided that we get back in our car and we finished our trip all the way up to the North Shore. And I'm telling you, that night we had our tent set up and we were sitting over the cliff of Lake Superior looking at one of the most beautiful environments I have ever seen in my life. And at the same time, we had a radio going on beside us thinking, there are thousands upon thousands of people that are dying right now, and the just the emotional confusion of beauty and absolute tragedy going on at the same time was something that I wrestled with at that point. And so I remember very vividly the next morning in my read-through was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25. I'm going to read this to you. And if you remember from some of the news clips, they called it the day of disaster. You remember that? But this is what the verse that came just as a part of my reading. This was not, I didn't flip through. I wasn't doing any word search. This is the verse that I was given, that I read in that day. It was Proverbs 3:25. It says, have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and he will keep your foot from being snared. Let me read that one more time. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. I have never forgotten that day. And it was at that point that I realized the Lord has this. He is never going to leave us. And even in the midst of when things just look like they're not going well, he's always going to be with us. Keystone Church, I want us to find this morning the source of our hope in that verse, in the verses that we're going to go to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because I know that there are plenty of us who are worried, and we're quite frankly don't know what's going to happen in the future, guys. So our every week, what we're trying to do is help our people and help everyone in the world who will listen to know and follow Jesus. And not only to know and follow him, but to find the hope and what that practically looks like to find our hope in him today. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to read a part of the text from last week. This is Pastor Matt was in chapter 15, verse 13 through 19. I think some of these will be on your TV screen. So if you want to, go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says this. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified wrongly about God that he raised up Christ, whom he has not, who he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. That is really bad news, Keystone. Because if he's not been alive, we are hoping in nothing. He says, you are still in your sins. That is the worst news possible. We're still dead in our sins. Verse 18, those then who have fallen asleep in Christ. Now pause there just a minute. Fallen asleep in Christ. I want you to tuck that in your head, because we're going to talk about that, on that idea of being a fallen asleep in Christ. Those are who have perished believing in Jesus, okay? Here we go. Fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. There's no hope for them. 19, and if we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. So the question I want us to ask this morning is, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, why is it that we're supposed to be pitied above all? Why are we to be pitied? Here's the reason. Because we have a false hope. We do not have a hope this morning in the midst of this craziness. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say that we are living an absolute lie. And the very thing that I'm proclaiming to you, I'm actually a false teacher this morning, and you should shut this off right now. That is the ramifications of if this is not true, then we are to be pitied, because we do not have hope at all. And as a matter of fact, he's going to expand in this later on. If you look further down your scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, it says this, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If this is all there is, guys, shut it off now, okay? And just go eat and drink, because tomorrow we might die. It's time to party. It's time to do whatever you want to do, because there is no truth. There is no hope. And some of us, that is exactly how we've concluded in our lives, is that we just kind of do whatever we want because we don't have a hope. Keystone Church, and everybody that's listening this morning, we're going to jump into our text this morning, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. And it is perhaps the most important text in all of the New Testament. Because here is what he's going to say, and let's just read it together. Maybe if even your living rooms, let's just read verse 20 out loud. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 15, 20, CSB version says this, but as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let's read it again. But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is an absolute turn in this whole entire narrative to be able to ask if this has happened, if this has happened. No, it has happened. In the NIV, here's just a couple other versions. NIV says this, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And I love the ESV, where it says this, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. It is an absolute fact for us this morning. To all you who are listening, we have hope. That is what this text is saying. Guys, this is absolutely incredible. And listen to me. There's no way that I can help you understand or see or experience the significance of this text, especially through a camera lens, right? Except by the Holy Spirit. And my prayer this morning is that the Holy Spirit would rock this deep within your soul so that this would come to life within you, to recognize we have hope. Guys, here is the bottom line for this morning. The resurrection is our greatest source of hope and peace. Now, let's pause here, because some of you are asking a question, and that question is the right question. It's the question of this: how do I know that this is a fact? How do I know that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead? And you'd be asking a very good and right question. As a matter of fact, we all should be asking this question, because if this is the center of all of our hope, if this is the source of our encouragement and peace this morning, then we should be asking that question. How is it that we're going to place our hope in this resurrection? So I want to just for a moment, just kind of take a little bit of a pause here. And I want us to step through. I want us to give us five reasons why the resurrection is not only reasonable, it's compelling. Okay? And there are plenty of resources like this. We could go to Lee Strobel's Case for Christ and so many that could be listed out here. But I want to give you five reasons this morning. Okay? Here we go. Here's the first one. Number one, the precautions of the Romans. You guys know that when Jesus was put into the tomb, the Romans made some significant ways in which they would prevent the body from being stolen. It is said that probably between 10 and 30 soldiers were placed at the tomb. There was a 4,000-pound rock put over the top. The Roman seal was placed upon it. And for us to then think that the disciples who have just scattered, who are frightened, would come and somehow figure out how to steal that body, that is not a reasonable thing to think. It's more reasonable for us to say he died and resurrected. Number two, the post-resurrection appearances. Acts 1:3 talks about he gave many, after he had rose from the dead, Jesus was alive. He gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared over 40 days to over 500 people. And at that point, Luke would say, go talk to him. They saw him. He was alive. Go talk to them. And to think that these 500 people, these 40 days, were making something up is not a reasonable claim. It is more reasonable to say he was alive. He was there. It is true. Number three, the disciples, from that point on, after Jesus ascended into heaven, all of them except one died for their faith. Now we have to ask the question, why would someone die for a lie? The answer is no one dies for a lie. Those followers saw Jesus and they gave their lives because of what they knew to be true. So you might go, wait. There are plenty of people that have died for things that were not true. And you'd be right. But like Waco, Texas, or whatever you want to fill in the blank there, those men and women believed that they were giving their lives for a truth. They were not believing in a lie. They were believing what they were doing was true. That's completely different. If these disciples would have said, okay, let's just make this up. Let's just pretend he rose from the dead and then let's go give our lives. That would not have, that is unreasonable. Number four, secular history confirms it. Josephus, a Jewish non-Christian historian, Thomas Arnold wrote his History of Rome. Both were non-Christians and said, nope, that happened. That happened. It's true. And the last one, the missing body of Jesus was never found. That would have been an easy thing for someone to do if his body truly was there. They could have said, no, here he is. This is it. But the fact is, nope, he rose from the dead. And let me just throw one more in. The Bible says it's true. And the Bible is a reliable source of what happened. Guys, our hope this morning, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And if Christ has been raised from the dead, here is why this is deeply significant. Everything he said and everything the scriptures say is true. Everything that is said is absolutely true. All the promises given to us as Christ followers are ours today. They're for us. And there are so many in the scriptures. Here are just a couple. You are forgiven. He does love you with an everlasting love. The height and breadth of his love is absolutely incredible. He's coming back for us. We have no need to fear of the sudden disaster that overtakes the wicked, right? Because the resurrection is true. He says he's going to take care of the sparrows and the flowers. How much more he's going to take care of you and I. That is the hope that we have because of the resurrection. This and so many other promises are ours all because of the resurrection. The resurrection is our greatest source of hope and peace because all the promises he has given us will be fulfilled. And one of the things that we're going to do this week in our small groups is that we're going to go through the scriptures and we're going to say, how many can you find? How many promises can we find that we can hang on to this day in the midst of this? And those questions are actually like one of our elders, Randy, mentioned here in the beginning. It's at the bottom of keystonelife.com/live. Those notes and those questions are at the bottom there. But Paul is going to give us, as we continue on this text this morning, Paul's going to give us two more promises that we have to hang on to. And I want you to see it here. Look at this. Now, Paul is going to take a big step out and he's going to talk about God's story. He's going to show two of the most important characters in the entirety of God's story. He's going to talk about Adam and he's going to talk about Jesus. He's going to talk about Adam and Jesus. You're going to see this. Okay, here we go. He says, this is verse 21. For since death came through one man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. Okay, here we go. Verse 22. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Do you see what's going on there? It's a comparison of what happened. So in Adam, death came and all died. Jesus came, the resurrection of the dead, and all are made alive. It's why you see very often in the scriptures that they talk about the first Adam and then the last Adam, because that's the comparison we see. Verse 23 then, but each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Okay, this idea of first fruits. Okay, it's the time that we see this here. The first fruits, we talked about that up in 18. You know, if those are the first fruits, those who have passed away are dead if there's no resurrection. He's saying, nope, first fruits. Let me read. CSB Study Bible says this. The first fruits refers to the guarantee that Christ's resurrection is the first of a kind of resurrection. It's the first. The first fruits, right? We have, when the harvest comes in, we give our first fruits. He's the first to go before us. And he's the first of a kind of resurrection that promises others we will follow in the end time. He has gone first and we will follow. And he's talking about those who are asleep. Remember that? He says, those then who are asleep in Christ. He says, but as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's verse 20. Guys, this idea of falling asleep, those are people who have died believing in Jesus. They will then follow as well. There's a sequence going on. Adam all died. Christ raised. We are now next in sequence. ESV Study Bible says this, by divine appointment, Adam represented the whole human race that would follow him. And his sin, therefore, affected all human beings. Similarly, this is the kind, right? This is the way it goes. Similarly, Christ represented all who would belong to him. And his obedience, therefore, affected all believers. Now, there's a really important assumption here that we have to hit on. And it's this assumption. This promise is not for everyone. Okay? So let me go back to 22 again. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Verse 23, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward at his coming, those who belong to Christ. And so we are all in Adam. We are all born out of Adam. But here's the question. Are you in Christ? Because if you are in Christ, you can have this hope. This is the hope that is given to you. If you are not in Christ this morning, for all you are listening, this is the reason we're broadcasting. This is the reason we're trying to help you to see the hope. If you're not in Christ, you're still in Adam. You're still in Adam. I think that's me. Is that right? And if you are still in Adam, guys, there is no hope in this world. We want you to help you know that Christ has come, and now he is resurrected from the dead to give us this very hope. So in the resurrection, the first promise is this. Jesus secures for us that we get to follow in his resurrection. So no matter what's happening in this world, we are going to follow in the exact same way that Jesus followed. We get to follow him in the resurrection. Here's the second promise. Number two, we get to know the end of the story. We get to know the end of the story. Look at verse 24. And then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and all power, and might I add, from what we know to be true, all disease, all sin, all tears, abolished and gone. I was studying this text this week, and I thought, are you kidding me? This is the text we get to work on this week. This is the text we get to see. And let me just read verse 24 again. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom of God and the Father, and he abolishes all rule, all authority, all power, and by extension, all disease, all sin, all tears, all gone. Guys, that is the end of this whole entire thing, that he will come back to abolish it all. And he says one more thing that will be abolished. Look at verse 25. And he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. He is coming and he will wipe out everything. Sin's rule, it'll be gone. Every corrupt authority, gone. Every coronavirus and every other virus like it, gone. Because of the resurrection and the promise that he will come back to abolish it all. I think if you're not, I think you're like me, and that we've said it already this morning. I think what's most unnerving about these times is the uncertainty, is it not? You know, I think we're all kind of sitting in our homes kind of wondering, am I going to be here for a while? Is this going to happen for a long time? What about food? Should we stock up? Should we not stock up? Should I be checking on my neighbors? Is this 1 week? Is this 2 weeks? Are our kids going to be home the entire time? Are we together? And should we, what is our plan, right? It's uncertain. The future is uncertain. I think what's so interesting to me, I'm sure plenty of you have been getting your movie list in, right? You've been, oh man, we got time to watch this. When it comes to movies, you better not tell me the ending, okay? I'm so much so that you better not even read the back of the jacket. I don't even like knowing anything. I want the story to unfold as it unfolds, right? I don't even want to know the characters' names. I kind of want to learn that. That's with movies. When it comes to life though, would you not agree? I don't want uncertainty at all. As a matter of fact, I want to know where this thing is going. That is precisely the promise that we are given this morning. We know the end game. We know what's going to happen. Jesus is going to come back and say, done. Done. It is all done. And so the kind of confidence that we can have in this time is, while we don't know what's going to happen this week, next week, or the next month, we know what's going to happen at the end. And that is a confidence that should build us up this morning in a way to know that we're going to rise with him, but he's also going to come back and he's going to say, done. It's all because of the resurrection. Our faith is sure in the fact of the resurrection. He's going to end this whole entire time here in verse 28. Jump down to verse 28. He says, when everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. NLT says, so that he may reign supreme in everything, because he does. And even over the coronavirus, COVID-19, or whatever viruses come in the future, whatever challenges come in your future, whatever challenges come in my future or this church, he reigns. He reigns now because of the resurrection. That is supposed to give us deep hope this morning. And my hope and prayer is that that is true. And it is okay, because I've wrestled with this, guys, to say, God, I'm worried. I'm worried. This is unnerving to me. And I have relatives that I don't know what's going to go on. Lord, I'm worried. But yet not my will, but yours be done. And I'm going to trust you, because you've proven to me that you are the king over death by the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus secures for us that we will follow him in the same way in the last day of being alive, and we get to know the end times. Guys, I've struggled in my life with anxiety and depression and being worried. That's been something true in my soul. And you know what I have been wrestling with all week is to be able to say, that's not necessary. It's not needed. Why? Because the King of the universe reigns in this world. And when God says, have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and he will keep your foot from being snared, I can trust him. Why? Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ has proven that that promise and every other of the promises in the scriptures are for me and for you and for us to rest. And it's when I find in Philippians chapter 4, When Paul says, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. I believe that's what is the result of believing in the resurrection this morning. Guys, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. And this is the verse. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe, and out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. That is a truth and a fact that is reasonable for us to hold on to this morning. And then to find all the other promises that we can find in the scriptures and hang on to them for dear life. And this time to be able to know that we have no fear of sudden disaster that overtakes the wicked. Keystone Church, my hope and prayer is that you will find your hope this morning and look to him as the one who has proclaimed that death has no longer a claim over me. Guys, let's pray to this King. Oh, Jesus, we call to you. We call on you because this resurrection has given us this hope that we can be secure in you, that we can know that you will direct us. And as we look around to this uncertainty in this world, Lord, our natural tendency is to worry. Our natural tendency is to be anxious and to be down in our soul because we think, oh no. But yet you have given us clarity. You have given us hope. We know what's going to happen in the end, and it's all because of this one truth. But now, indeed, the fact is you are alive, and it gives us the ability to trust you in all of this time. Lord, would you rise within us this hope in this Sunday morning? And we pray for all the churches around the world. Lord, may the hope of the gospel be made known to us. And may it not just be a theory. May it not just be a truth out there, but may it be something that gets into my soul and I live differently this week because of it. Thank you, Jesus, for proving that you are alive to us. Now help us to go in that power and that hope. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.